תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Creator, we are grateful to you for awakening the world kli and for the importance of the goal you gave us. We ask you to be with us and to grant us an opportunity to strengthen in faith above reason and to feel your greatness. Loudly and clearly. The writings of Rabash. What is the gift that a person asks of the Creator? Rav, please.
Ma'amar meot.
Well, like all the Rabash articles, the more we read and delve into it, we see that you can't say that this is more and that is less, and whether it's short or long, it's that there's really a difference between them. They all really point to the goal in a very sharp way and decisive way. So, as the years pass, I can at least say about myself, I more and more appreciate these articles as opposed to what I thought at first, where it's like, okay, he wrote, he had to write once a week. Rabash wrote once a week, meaning he wrote the whole week. But for one day, Thursday, where we would all connect in the tens, and each ten would read the article in their gathering. So sometimes I would think, okay, probably he has to do it for our gathering, so we'll have something to read, until that nonsense came out of me, until I began to understand that in each and every article there is a great secret and a unique approach. And how much he thinks about it, so that even though it seems easy and simple to us, but through that we have a connection with the center of creation, the purpose of creation. So as the years pass, I better and better appreciate these articles, what Rabash wrote in them, and his greatness always keeps growing and growing in my eyes and becomes loftier and more special. What he did here is really a work of sanctifying the Creator. Without these articles, we can't unlock the soul and reach connection with the Creator in an open and correct manner. So let's read and enjoy what he wrote. And if we think that there is something simple, light, or not so important, then we should pay attention, because probably there we don't understand at all what he's trying to say.
מהי המתנה שהאדם מבקש מהשם?
What is the gift that a person asks of the Creator? It is written in the Zohar. It is written, my God, save your servant. Delight the soul of your servant. Give your strength to your servant. Three times did David become a servant in this praise, corresponding to the three times that the authors of the Mishnah established that man should be a servant in the prayer. In the first blessings, he should be as a servant who praises his teacher. In the middle ones, he is as a servant who asks for a gift from his teacher. In the last blessings, he is as a servant who thanks his teacher for the gift he has received from him and walks away. We should understand why they compared man's prayer to a servant receiving a gift from his teacher, and not to charity or to other things. What does this teach us in the work? It is known that from the Creator two things come to us directly. One, the light. Two, the vessel to receive the light. One, we learned that the purpose of creation is his will to do good to his creations. It follows that the Creator wanted to do good to the creatures even without an awakening from the lower ones, for there were still no creatures in the world from whom to receive awakening. This is regarded as the light coming from the Creator without any element of the lower one. Two, the Creator created existence from absence, a kli vessel called desire and yearning to receive the light and pleasure. This means that what we see is as in, by your actions we know you, meaning that we speak only of what we see that exists in the nature of creation. We see that it is impossible to enjoy anything, whatever it is, unless there is a yearning for it. For this reason, we learned that from the perspective of the light that created the vessel, called will to receive, it underwent four discernments, meaning four stages, until the will to receive acquired the complete form of yearning. After the light created the kli, the vessel, this kli, or vessel, received the delight and pleasure that he wished to give. These two above-mentioned things, the light and the kli, pertain to the Creator. We learn that in this respect there was complete perfection and there is nothing to add to this. However, afterwards, something new was born, which we attribute to the creatures and not to the Creator. In other words, we attribute the matter of giving to the Creator, who is the giver, for his desire is to do good to his creations, which is to give abundance to the creatures and receive nothing from them. Yet, afterward, something new was made. As it is written in the study of the Ten Sefirot, that the first receiver, called Malchut of Ein Sof, craved a decoration called decoration at the point of desire, to have equivalence of form called Dvekut, adhesion. For this reason, the restriction was made, meaning that she diminished her will to receive on the kli called will to receive. Hence, the light departed. Malchut invented a new kli called will to bestow, meaning not to receive the light and pleasure according to the level of the yearning for the light, but according to the level of her desire to bestow. This means that Malchut calculated how many percent of the abundance she could receive with the aim to bestow on the part she would receive in order to receive. If she were to receive, she would not receive. It follows that we attribute this kli, which the lower one gives, to the lower one, since the kelim, the vessels of the upper one, which the upper has made in order for the lower one to be able to enjoy the light, is only the will to receive. That kli will never be revoked, because what the Creator has created must always exist. However, the lower one can add to the kli of the Creator, as it is written, which God has created to do. This means that God has created the kli called desire to receive pleasure, and man must add to it a correction called the intention to bestow. As was said above, that Malchut Dein Sof decorated herself at the point of the desire. This means that her decoration was in that she placed on the will to receive the aim to bestow. There, in Malchut Dein Sof, was only the root. From her, it extended to the lower ones that it is forbidden to receive. Following the rule, a desire in the upper one becomes a binding law in the lower one. It extended from this discernment until the Sitra Achra, other side, was born, the opposite of Kedusha, holiness. In Kedusha, there is only the desire to bestow, which is Dvikut, adhesion. But those who want to receive in order to receive become removed and separated from the life of lives. For this reason, they said in the Zohar, the wicked in their lives are called dead. And said the verse, the grace of the nations is a sin about the wicked. All the good that they do for themselves. It therefore follows that the Creator gives two things directly to the creature. One, the delight and pleasure. Two, the desire to yearn for pleasures. However, unpleasantness, called shame, extends indirectly from the Creator. That is, the Creator wants the lower one to receive the light and not suffering, but indirectly, meaning that the upper one, the giver, does not want the lower one to feel shame upon reception of the delight. This is why the correction of the tzimtzum, the restriction, was made. Because of the tzimtzum, the restriction, the abundance does not come to the kelim, to the vessels that the Creator has made, unless the creature has placed a correction of the intention to bestow on the kli. If a person does not have this kli, he remains in the dark, without light. And the name, the good who does good, is hidden from him, because he does not have the right kelim for the reception of the abundance, which is called equivalence of form. It follows that the whole novelty that was made after the Tzimtzum is that only the aim to bestow is missing. But the two discernments that extended prior to the Tzimtzum did not change. In other words, in the first discernment, which is his desire to do good, there was no change. And after the Tzimtzum, he still wants to impart delight and pleasure. In the second Chena, discernment, which is the will to receive, there was also no change. It is as we learn that there are no changes in spirituality, but only additions. It follows that after the Tzimtzum, it is impossible to receive any upper abundance unless we add to the will to receive the aim to bestow. This is all of our work in Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, to be rewarded with vessels of bestowal. Our sages said about this, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the spice of Torah. It is known that the will to receive is called evil inclination because it causes remoteness from the Creator, since it is in disparity of form from the Creator. The Creator aims to bestow, whereas the evil inclination wants only to receive. For this reason, all the delight and pleasure in the thought of creation is hidden from it. However, how can we obtain these kelim since this is against our nature? The answer is that this is why we were given Torah and Mitzvot. Through them, we can obtain these kelim. Yet, why are not everyone awarded with vessels of bestowal through Torah and Mitzvot? The reason is that there is no light without a kli. It follows that if a person does not know for certain that all we need are only these kelim, he still does not have real kelim. In other words, he does not have a need for these kelim. It follows that the light is in Torah and Mitzvot, which can assist a person to attain these kelim, but he does not have a real need to be given these kelim. If we look a little deeper in and thoroughly examine those who observe Torah and Mitzvot, whether they want to be given vessels of bestowal and to give in return the will to receive, the vast majority of the workers will say that they pass on this. Instead, they want to observe Torah and Mitzvot in order to receive. It follows that they have no need for vessels of bestowal. For this reason, how can they say that the Torah and Mitzvot they labor in should give them a reward for which they have no need? On the contrary, they are afraid lest they will lose the vessels of reception called self-love. This is as Maimonides says. Our sages said, one should always engage in Torah, even if lo lishma, not for her sake, since from lo lishma he will come to lishma. For her sake. Therefore, when teaching little ones, women, and uneducated people, they are taught to work only out of fear and in order to receive reward. Until they gain knowledge and acquire wisdom, they are taught that secret little by little and are accustomed to the matter calmly until they attain Him and serve Him with love. It therefore follows that one should yearn to obtain vessels of bestowal. Although he sees that the will to receive disagrees with it, meaning that it does not let him pray that the Creator will give him these kelim, For that too, one must pray to the Creator to give him a desire to understand the necessity that there is in these kelim. He asks the Creator to have the strength to overcome the desire of the body, which wants to remain specifically in vessels of reception. Moreover, when he sees that a desire can emerge from this thing, that the person will later want to come to vessels of bestowal, he promptly feels this and begins to instantaneously resist. However, a person does not come easily into seeing that he cannot work in order to bestow. Instead, a person thinks that now he still does not have the desire to bestow. But whenever he wants to work in order to bestow, the choice is in his hands, meaning he will be able to work in order to bestow. The awareness that he thinks he has calms him down, so as not to be impressed by the fact that he is not engaging in work of bestowal, since whenever he chooses, he will be able to. For this reason, he is not worried about this. However, the truth is that this is not within man's power, as it is against human nature. Our sages said about this, man's inclination overcomes him every day. If the Creator does not help him, he will not overcome it. However, in order to receive help, a person must see and exert to have a need for his help. This is why it was said, he who comes to purify, then the Creator helps him. We asked, why does man need to begin the work and only then the Creator helps him? Why does the Creator not give him this strength right away? Meaning that even if a person does not ask for help, the Creator will help him as soon as he begins the work of the Creator. According to the rule that there is no light without a kli, a person must begin. When a person sees that he cannot, he has a need for the Creator's help. Therefore, specifically when one has begun the work and sees that he is unable, in that state, he receives a kli for the Creator to impart him this force called desire to bestow. However, normally, when a person begins the work of bestowal and sees that it is difficult for him and sees that, in his view, he has already asked the Creator many times to help him but received no help at all, a person escapes the campaign and says that this work is not for him. Indeed, precisely in this place, when he has resolved that this is difficult for him alone, and only the Creator can help, a person must trust the Creator that he will help him. However, this still does not complete the kli, meaning the need for his help. Each time he asks for help, although he still does not feel his help, he must believe above reason that the Creator does help, but that he will still does not need to see in order to reveal the real need for it. According to the above, we should interpret that the verse, For the ways of the Lord are straight. The righteous walk in it, and the wicked fail in them. This means that precisely at this point, when a person comes to the resolution that it is not within man's power to obtain vessels of bestowal, because he sees that not a single organ in his body agrees to this, now he has arrived at the point of truth. Now he should make an honest prayer for the Creator to help him. Certainly, he will receive the help from the Creator, who sits and waits for man to give him the kli, meaning the need for it. It is precisely here that a person escapes from that state. And precisely here is where the help can come to him. Yet, he escaped the campaign. And for this reason, he is called a criminal. Yet, the righteous does not despair, because specifically now he is rewarded with vessels of bestowal. It follows that in the same place where the righteous walk, meaning receive an ascent in degree, in that very same place the wicked fail. Precisely in that place where they should receive help, they fail and escape the campaign.
It
follows from all the above that man should ask for the Creator's giving, meaning that the Creator will give him as a gift the vessels of bestowal, just as he has given him the kli called will to receive. In other words, on one hand, we say that the Creator has given the kli and the light, meaning both the desire and the yearning to receive the pleasure, as well as the pleasure. Only the addition to the kli, which is the will to bestow, we attribute to the creatures, as it is written, which God has created to do. Which God has created refers to the will to receive, called created, which is something made existence from absence, called creation. On this, man should place the aim to bestow. Meaning that this really does belong to the creatures and not to the Creator. However, the truth is that the Creator should give even this kli called addition. When we say that this pertains to the creatures, it means that man should ask the Creator to give him this kli called intention to bestow. That is, only the lack, his lack of desire to bestow, is what the lower one should exert to have. But regarding the will to receive, it cannot be said that there is an awakening of the lower one for this, because if the desire to receive still does not exist in the world, who would ask to be given the desire to want to receive pleasure? It is impossible to say that before a person is born, he wants something. This is why we say that the will to receive belongs entirely to the Creator. But afterwards, once the will to receive pleasures has been born, comes the time when a person feels that this will to receive, without additions, but as it came from nature, is bad. Because he cannot receive real pleasures with this desire, but only as a thin light, which the Creator has given to the klipot, the shells, so they would not be cancelled. When a person comes to this awareness, he receives a need to have the ability to aim to bestow. Before he has a need for this, he cannot be given the kli. As was said, that there is no light without a kli. And the kli is called need and lack. That lack is not apparent as such, unless he suffers torments and pains from needing this thing and not having it. A regular lack is when a person sees that he does not have something and understands that he needs it. However, if he knows that he can live without it, it still cannot be said about him that he has a real lack. A real lack means that he knows that without the thing he lacks, he cannot go on living. This is called a real need. It is likewise in the work. Many times a person knows, understands, and feels that he is lacking the desire to bestow. He asks the Creator to give him the ability to overcome the body, called will to receive. And he knows that he has already asked the Creator several times, but the Creator did not want to listen to him. Seeing that he still did not receive this strength from the Creator puts him off, and he does not have the strength to ask the Creator once again to give him what he wants. Since he sees that the Creator is not listening to him, hence he can no longer pray to the Creator. But in truth, we should say that a person still does not have the real need for the Creator's help. The need that the person has, where he sees that he is unable to aim to bestow, is still not regarded as a real need. Rather, a real need means that he sees that if he does not have what he needs, he cannot exist in the world. This is regarded as a real need. For this reason, when a person realizes that unless he obtains the desire to bestow, he will be separated from Kedusha, and he has no hope of ever achieving spirituality, called Dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, but he will be constantly immersed in self-love and have no chance of entering Kedusha, holiness, and he will remain in the klipot, in the shells, and this pains him, and he says, in that case, I am better off dead than alive. This is called a real need. Then, when a person prays that the Creator will grant him the vessels of bestowal, this is called a real need. And it is only this that we can attribute to the lower ones, meaning the lack, that he is lacking vessels of bestowal. This is called a kli, meaning a need. The feeling for this, meaning the desire to bestow, belongs to the Creator. In other words, as the Creator has given the first kli, which is the will to receive, he also gives the kli called desire to bestow. The only difference between the first kli, called will to receive, and the kli called desire to bestow, is that the first kli, was without an awakening of the lower one. Since before he was born, who would ask? But afterwards, when the will to receive was born, he began to feel what that will to receive is causing him. To the extent of the understanding of the need for vessels of bestowal, so does a person awaken to feel the need. And it is only the need for vessels of bestowal that we attribute to the creatures. Accordingly, we can interpret and what we say and ask, grant me the treasure of a free gift. This is perplexing, since we need to serve the Creator not in order to receive reward, much less ask for a free gift. So, why does it say in the prayer, may it please, before saying Psalms, grant me the treasure of a free gift? The meaning is, give us a free gift, grant me. That is, give us the gift of the vessel of bestowal, just as you have given us the clay of the will to receive. We are asking you, since we feel the need for the vessels of bestowal. And what are the vessels of bestowal? To be able to work for free, without any reward. But rather, that our work will be only in order to bestow. That is, in the first clay called will to receive, a person can only work for a reward. And this clay is called a new clay, a new creation that did not exist before he has created it. Now, give us a clay, meaning a desire, from your treasure. And what is it? The desire to bestow. This was also before he has created the will to receive. For the desire to bestow is the reason for the desire to receive. The desire to bestow is called existence from existence. And the will to receive is called existence from absence. Since it is known that there is no will to receive in the Creator, because from whom would he receive? For this reason, we ask for the treasure of a free gift, meaning from your treasure. Since you have a desire to bestow, you give that desire for free. Give it to us, so we too can work for free without receiving reward. By this, we will understand what we asked. How can we ask the Creator to give us a free gift? The meaning is that we are asking the Creator to give us the ability to serve Him for free. In other words, the vessel of reception that a person receives, the vessel of bestowal that a person receives is called a free gift. Thus, what is the gift that one should ask the Creator to give him? We asked, how can one ask for presents, since it is known that you can ask for charity, but a gift? Who asks for gifts? Normally, we give gifts to those we love. The answer is that since a person wants to love the Creator, and since the will to receive is the obstructor, a person asks for this gift called vessels of bestowal, where through this gift that he will receive from the Creator, A person will be rewarded with the love of the Creator and not with self-love. This is why it is called a gift. And this is what a person should ask. This is the meaning of what we asked. What gift should one ask of the Creator, which is permitted to ask, and on which our work in Torah and mitzvot stand, whereby observing them, we will receive a need for this request and understand that they are our lives and the length of our days. That need is that we are lacking dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, called equivalence of form, by which we can adhere to the life of lives. And if we are not rewarded with dvekut and remain in self-love, we will be separated from the life of lives, which is the meaning of the wicked in their lives are called dead due to the separation between them. Concerning the request for the gift, the main point is that is the need for the matter. Through Torah and mitzvot, we receive a need, and through the need, there is room to ask for this gift, regarded as Him giving us the kli called desire to bestow upon the Creator. It is written about it, as I am for free, you are for free. In other words, a person should exert to work in order to bestow and not want to receive any reward. Although the Gemara interprets this differently, this too is implied there, as it is called dvekut. According to the above, we can interpret what we say in the blessing for the food, that even on Shabbat, Sabbath, when it is forbidden to speak of mundane matters, we ask the Creator, do not make us need the gift of flesh and blood. Such a prayer is suitable on weekdays when we ask for provision, but not on Shabbat. We should interpret that the request on Shabbat not to need the gift of flesh and blood refers to the vessels of flesh and blood, which flesh and blood use, namely vessels of reception. They ask the Creator to help them not to need to use their kelim, but the kelim of the Creator, which are vessels of bestowal. And on these kelim, we ask the Creator, for they are kelim of a free gift.
הנטייה הזאת של הרצון לקבל, בדרך כלל, אם אני לא מצליח משהו, אז...
This inclination of the will to receive, if I don't succeed in something, I don't have any inclination to think I might succeed in this, to ask something of someone who can help me.
Because you don't feel His presence. You don't feel the Creator exists, so you don't turn to Him. Well, what?
My whole life I feel this way. Who can help me? What can help me? Life also shows me that...
That's why you were given a means to get to the Creator, which is the group.
Why
are you looking at me?
I also can't show many successes with the group. It's something I see, wow, this one is giving me, this one helps me, and then I'm drawn to it.
Okay, but still you understand that this, through that you can advance.
I still do.
If you won't add your own effort to it, nothing will happen.
Because exactly at this point, the Creator lets you activate free choice.
So
what is this point? He calls it a crime, this point where he places this need on a created being, for the created being to develop it by himself.
The created being can't develop anything. He can demand, he can ask, but he can't do anything on his own. He's not capable of actions, only possibly a deficiency.
So afterwards he describes in the article, he tries many times and sees that he's not succeeding, and then
he turns to the Creator and begins to discover what deficiencies he has and how much he can activate them. The deficiencies.
So here too he writes that after he's already asked the Creator several times and sees that the Creator doesn't want to listen to him, he didn't receive strength from the Creator, and that compels him from asking again is exactly what we're going through. And then he tells him, but he should believe. That's always the point of crisis, that he can give him. So from that crisis, how do you overcome that crisis?
By the 10. By the 10, that you see an example in front of you, what is hidden in spirituality, you see on the 10 corporeally.
Can you see an example of overcoming in the 10?
You hear from them, you see on them, and yeah, it awakens you and positions you.
Yeah.
In other words, through the 10, I can make my will to receive, see that it can overcome it.
Yes. Let's go to... David.
So, to continue, Rabash writes that there is a matter of the wicked, and he remains wicked in that state. He can't overcome, he can't make this transition. So, and that is also man's choice to remain wicked. But he's not succeeding in seeing through the 10 and asking for the strength.
But he has a possibility.
He has a possibility, and he may also feel it and understand it, but can't make a decision in the right direction. He feels like he remains wicked and he can't get out of it.
But he has a commandment. There is an instruction that he has to connect to the friends and nullify before them.
Yes,
he cannot take this opposite decision.
Rav,
I understand, but we have to continue to try to connect and get closer to the friends. There's no other way. This is the bridge that connects us to spirituality.
At this point where we have to continue making an effort, I see that there are several degrees in it. We just remain in the environment and expect something to happen over time, but we can't make it an extra effort, not even 1 millimeter off. Fine, but we're still remaining connected to the environment.
Yes.
And
the ability is just like a miracle to give this extra effort.
This can come through envy, lust, and honor.
Thank you.
Okay? Yes.
צורך אמיתי.
Rabbi, I wanted to ask about what he writes as a true need, that a person is given that only if he feels that without it he can't live. How do you reach the true need for vessels of bestowal?
The true need, the real need for vessels of bestowal, it's truly a need.
שאנחנו רואים ש...
When we see...
שאחרת אנחנו לא נגיע לחיבור בינינו.
Otherwise, we will not achieve connection between us.
זהו.
That's it.
לכן אנחנו מתחילים לבקש.
This is why we begin to ask.
But also the request for vessels of bestowal, the will to receive doesn't want it.
It doesn't want it.
Right, so I'm asking, how do you bring your nature to want something it doesn't? And not just that, but that if it doesn't have that, it's worse than death.
Through shame, lost and honor, when I begin to see that if I cannot show that I am giving, I will not receive any support from them, any respect and any closeness and a good relation. So I have to be in bestowal, at least superficially, but I have to.
External influence, I understand. What I don't get is, how does it become a true need?
Let the light do this. He writes about it. We need to do things on the outside, and the light turns them into internal qualities.
Can we say that the difference between righteous and the wicked is that both of them are committing sins, but righteous is demanding? Can we say this is the difference? Demand.
I didn't quite understand. The demand of the righteous is to perform connection. The demand of the wicked is to perform separation.
And I'm turning myself, how for such a long time I didn't turn to Creator. Every day in morning lesson, I'm translating the lesson with the 10, but I didn't even turn to Creator. How this can happen, I'm asking myself. And probably he doesn't awaken the Reshimo inside me. So what can I do in order that Creator will awaken a prayer inside me to him?
But what you're saying now is already a prayer. You understand? In other words, continue and you will see that the Creator only waits. He expects from you a big desire and correctly.
It's
written that Malchut prepared a new kli called a desire to bestow. What does it mean that the Malchut made a new kli if everything comes from the Creator?
Now, the fact that the force, the strength comes from the Creator, that's fine, but when Malchut, the will to receive, begins to attribute herself, relate herself, she wants the desire of to bestow upon the Creator, she wants it to be formed in her, that's already her inner work.
And why does he write that she made it up?
She made it up means it didn't exist before and now it does.
Now it says that in spirituality there is no changes but only additions. What does that mean?
That all the forces come from the Creator and we just have to use them in the right way and in the right order. For sure, where is the created being?
What's the difference between saying that the created being has to bring the need or the need for the need?
I don't think that's the main point. The main point is for us to constantly yearn to bring contentment to the Creator.
Which is a desire to bestow, no?
It's a desire to bestow, yes.
Which is the same need, because again, he said before that Torah and Mitzvot give you the need. It's not clear ultimately what the created being does. Only waits for the light to work on him, or what?
That's the question. What should the created being give?
Yeah, me, the person.
You have to give only the deficiency. You want to receive from above an explanation, the strength, the direction, an entry into the right place, in the right direction, into the right deficiency. Yes, you need to receive everything.
So that's a request from the Creator, man from the Creator.
Yeah, to the Creator.
Right, and sometimes you say the ten and envy, lust, and honor, which sounds like a different direction, looking at the friends and absorbing some deficiency from them.
That too, I need to receive. I cannot create anything in me. I only receive from the Creator, from the environment.
So I'm asking, sometimes it sounds like the person needs to come and demand from the Creator.
If he's got what to demand.
And other times a person does corporeal actions, like in this world, and looks at the friends in this world, envy, lust, and honor, and somehow from these corporeal actions or comparing himself to others, something spiritual is born. So which of the two or both?
Both. Both. And they come alternately. Yes.
אם אני מבין נכון רב, הוא מתאר לנו פה סנדוויץ' כזה.
If I understand correctly, Rav, he describes like a sandwich where the Creator first gives the will to receive, which he calls evil. He gives birth to the will to receive in the created beings. Then there is a stage where the created beings need to give gratitude for that. Wait, one step back. The will to receive that the Creator gives birth to gives a true need, what as he calls it, and then the created being raises a prayer for it, and the fulfillment, which is again the Creator, is when he's given a desire to bestow. So now there's the emphasis on the middle, the sandwich, which is our work, if I understand correctly. He writes, this is where many fall at this point, specifically because he has to go through many stages of praying and not receiving a response the way he thinks. And that's where friends fall. So how do we shape the force in the society so that a person understands that this decision point is critical, that all the years that he put in, this is now the place and we hold him there and don't let him fall? What kind of force does the ten or the society need to create?
Only example. The example can be external or more internal, but we have nothing more. But rather, the friends need to see that we are continuing on the path. And each and every day, we try to find another place where we can break through forward, where we can break ahead.
Anche se siamo consapevoli che siamo ancora imprigionati nella nostra natura.
Even if we are aware that we are still prisoners of our will to receive, we don't always do the actions to reach the true need. The question is, how much depends on us and how much depends on the Creator to reach the true need?
Everything depends on our patience and everything depends on the Creator. From us, it seems like we have to develop patience, which is the yardstick, the gauge, of our advancement toward the Creator and our adhesion.
Onlu olarak Rabaş'ın makalelerinin ışığını nasıl çekip hayatımıza katabiliriz?
Biz Brothers at 10, how can we draw the light from the articles of Rabash and add it to our life? Why can't we reach this deficiency that is discussed here?
We are not asking. We don't want it. We don't need this deficiency. This is why we're not receiving it. We can't detect it. The whole point is that everything depends on our desire. It's like reflected light. That with it, as with a flashlight, we begin to see that we have this desire before us. But if we don't have the desire to reveal Him, then we are revealing the darkness.
Qui c'è scritto: ogni volta che chiedo aiuto, anche se ancora non sente il suo aiuto, dobbiamo credere.
It says here, every time I ask for help, if I don't feel the help that I receive, I have to have faith above reason that the Creator helps me. How to reach this confidence, this awareness in the ten?
In the 10, it's actually easier. In the 10, we help each other. We can support each other. We can give each other confidence that the Creator is with us and He is accompanying us through our search and all our actions.
Para que sea real,
in order to be realistic, we need a desire that is very aimed. So what's the order of the work to achieve this very fine-tuned desire?
We need to think together about the same goal and want it in connection between us. And then the rest is what we say, what we elevate in that connection between us to the Creator. I didn't understand.
Is it sufficient if I ask for the friends, for the friend to receive the need, or the person himself has to, or that the friend himself has to ask for himself to receive the need.
Both, of course. But if you're asking for the friend, then you first need to receive the same thing that you're asking for the friend, and then it passes on to the friend.
If I have the need, I want the friend to have the need.
Yes, so you are praying for him. So what's the question then?
Lawrence is asking if he can ask for Dima and that's it, or that Dima also has to ask for that need himself.
No, the two are unrelated. As long, the important thing is for him to pray for the friends. This will expand his vessels of perception.
Вот эта помощь Творца, этот подарок, намерение отдавать. Что это такое? То есть как нам его лучше себе представить?
The Creator's help, the gift. The intention to bestow. What is it? How can we depict this state correctly to ask for it?
Просто просить. Simply
ask. If you aim yourself constantly at the request, you will reach, you will come to the right request. You will come to it.
Ну я вот прошу, дай мне намерение отдавать, желание отдавать. Но это как бы порой просто слова, которые.
I ask, give me the intention in order to bestow, but it's just words.
Какого-то такого напряжения.
There's no pain in them.
Которое было бы, если бы было.
There's no inner tension. If I understood what it is. Then yes. So how can we add this tension? How can we add it?
This is the power of the prayer of many.
How can we correctly use the force of the prayer of many?
USA Northwest.
When we connect, entertain, and integrate with our friends, we receive their desires. Is that, would that be considered free gifts? Because we expand our own desires through connections?
It will get later into free gift. For now, no. For now, it's connection.
When the Creator gives a deficiency, it's felt like a gift, like something very valuable. You want it to stay, you want this deficiency to bestow, to remain. It's felt that nothing more is needed. So why is it considered that it's like a free?
First of all, we have to attain that deficiency and feel that what we're demanding, we have no personal need for it. Therefore, what the Creator gives is called free.
Dostlar bize eksikliğimizi gösterip gerçek duaya gelmemize mi neden oluyor? Bunu hissettiğimde duam nasıl olmalıdır? Teşekkür ediyorum.
Do our friends show us our deficiencies and by that cause us to reach a true prayer? What prayer should I have when I feel this happening?
The prayer has to be on the deficiency that the friends are showing me, and I'm taking it as my own, and we connect through that. This is the meaning of being as one man and one heart.
Доброй ночи, Рав, дорогая группа. Вот первая половина статьи, ощущения.
Hello, Rav. Hello, dear group.
The
first half of the article, it feels like that there is no other prayer other than a prayer for a correction of the vessels of bestowal. And at the end of the article, Rabash says about love, that we can get these vessels of bestowal as a gift, and if so, what are the conditions?
Yes, we receive vessels of bestowal from the Creator on the condition that we know how to use them. How to use them? Yes, we need to try and be in mutual bestowal in the society in order to learn how to show qualities, the intentions to bestow to one another, and from that we will be rewarded with vessels of bestowal.
Necesito, estoy como un poco confundida con el tema. Si para cambiar mi condición debo trabajar.
I'm a little confused here with the topic.
De recibir, otorgar y además complacerme.
If to change my state from receiving in order to bestow, I need to go through the entire path, and in addition, what needs to happen, I need to raise a good prayer, then what does the Creator give? Like for free, does he give me some kind of gift or?
The Creator gives us vessels of reception, and we need to add them to our intentions of bestowal and connect them into one vessel, and then we'll be able to work with that vessel in reception in order to bestow.
Il dit que le point principal est la nécessité.
Hello, Rav. Hello, friends.
Alors, comment devons-nous demander un cadeau pour toute la dizaine?
He says that what's most important is to reach a true deficiency. So how can we ask for a gift for the entire 10 if we don't know what exactly the deficiency that the 10 needs to achieve is?
The deficiency the 10 has to attain is, first of all, the connection between them for determining their goal, and the forces for how to attain the goal together, how to realize it together.
Barur. Tov. Yesh lanu woman piti eser.
Thank you, Rav. In the beginning of the article, he says, he who comes to be aided, he who comes to be purified is aided. What is this that we need to do in the 10?
Anyone who comes to correct himself is incorporated in the 10 and is rewarded with correction. In other words,
what does it mean included in the 10? What do I need to do in practice?
Connects with his 10, and then he's rewarded with a force of correction that can dwell on them.
The
question isn't on the descent of Nekudot of Sag below the Tabor. The question is why these Nekudot of Sag have been purified and went above. That's the question. What makes them be purified? Like the friend said, they already came to the Siyum of Raglei Ak. Great. Why not stay there? Why do they need to be purified and continue?
There's a process that raises them back up.
What process if there is no bitush there?
Okay.
You're asking about something else. Are we on 62?
At the end of 62, it finishes by writing that the Nekudot of Sag reached the Siyum of Reglei Ak, and there they were mingled with the desires that were there.
Okay.
But the friend wasn't asking about that. He asked why they go and rise later on.
Because all the parts of him are like that. They expand and then they get refined, expand and refined.
I think
the confusion here, we learned that the purification is a result of the bitush.
Yes.
And it seems that at this place, that below the tabur there is no bitush.
Correct.
So why should there be purification? His dakechut.
It's the order of the elicitation of the partsufim. It's the order of the elicitation of the partsufim. Each partsuf after is filled with the light in order to bestow. It must be refined. Because by that it doesn't bring itself to wholeness, it doesn't continue. If you make yourself a self and an end point, then your action is not complete.
If the partsuf comes to the end of Reglei Ak,
even down to Siyum, even Galta reached all the way to the Siyum. Nekudot of Sag also reached the Siyum. So what?
That's
part of the natural process through which all the partsufim emerge, and that's it. At the end, there's always a purification. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, in the end, it always gets refined.
Tov. As atem shuv rotzim lekro samach bet or lo?
You want to read 62 again or not? Yes. The thing is that during the emergence of Partsuf Sag, it ended entirely above the taboo of the inner Ak, as it has been explained. Since they could not expand from Tabor down, why? Because there the governance of phase 4 of the inner Ak begins there, and it's 10 spherot of Siyum. And there is nothing of phase 4 whatsoever in the Partsufim Ab and Sag. Yet when the Nekudot of Sag of Ak began to emerge after the Yet when the Nekudot of Sag of Ak began to emerge, after the screen of Sag, which is phase 2 of coarseness, has been refined through the clash of surrounding light in it, and came to phase 2 of clothing, and phase 1 of coarseness, Bet Aleph, 2 over 1, the Ta'amim of Sag departed. Then the level of Nekudot emerged on the coarseness that remained in the screen. In Vak, without a Rosh. Meaning there's no more Roshimot, no more records of the line of Chokhmah. That's called Vak without a Rosh. This is because the 10 sphere that emerge on phase 1 of coarseness are on the level of Zer Anpin, lacking Gar. Also, there is no phase of Bina at the male level, which is phase 2 of clothing, but only nearly that, which is considered Vak of Bina. Hence, this level of Nekudot of Sag has equalized its form with the 10 sfirot of Siyum below the Tabur of Ak, considered also Vak without a Rosh. It is known that equivalence of form unites the spiritual into one. Hence, this level descended below the Tabu of Ak and mingled there with Zon of Ak, where they were as one, since they are of this, of equal level.
Rav, lama 10 sfirot de siyum hem gam vak bli rosh?
Why are 10 Sfirot of Siyum also Vak of Rosh?
Because they are not able to receive more than Vak.
But on all fourth phase, they did restriction, and these are vessels that were done with intention to bestow.
Vak without a Rosh is the light of Chasadim, is the lack of coarseness of the light of Chokhmah in the screen.
The whole essence of the Nekudot is the departure of the light.
Right.
Thing is, there's so many actions that they cause this departure of the light. Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction, all the worlds.
Because the Nekudot is the main thing, it's the meeting point between the Creator and the created being.
More than the flavors?
Yes, more than the flavor of the tamim. The tamim is when the light comes from above, fills all the vessels, makes all the preparations, hatsufim, worlds. But nekudot, when the vessels of the lower one are gradually revealed from below up, he goes to attain the upper one and he equalizes with it. That's why nekudot are more important. Nekudot are the vessels. Whenever there's a coupling and striking in the Rosh, that's where all the calculations take place. And then when it expands down below, it's in practice. When there was a calculation in all the Rashim, the multiples of Rosh and Nekudot of Sag, is it clear that there's going to be a second restriction and they have to create the restriction accordingly? Or second restriction happens later somehow?
Tzimtzum Bet happens afterwards, after the Pratsuf of Sag is purified. And the Nekudot of Sag are revealed, and the Pratsuf of Sag begins to expand below. Then you begin to reveal the vessels which are drawn until the Parsa. And then they become, then the Tzimtzum Bet takes place in them afterwards.
When there was a calculation in the Rosh of the Kudot of Sag, there wasn't the knowledge of the vessels you had to work with that you have to restrict?
And where would you know it?
Sag expands. It should know what's happening.
No.
No. In Rosh of Sag,
in Rosh of Sag, you have vessels upon which you can do the Zivug of Aka'ah and expand in them with the light as much as it can expand until you calculate it in your mind.
So who made the decision to have the second restriction?
The Tzimtzum Bet was done as a result of the lowering of the Nekudot of Sag below the Tabur.
Who made the second restriction?
Sag.
So Rosh of Sag, after Nekudot of Sag got refined.
Yes.
Maybe a simple first discernment here is what is Vak? What is happening to Vina?
Vak are the six ends. These are six vessels that are not intended to receive Gar of Chokhmah, but only Vak, meaning a small illumination from Chokhmah.
So why does... What happens that Bina needs to split here?
Well, take an example from a woman. On the one hand, she's a woman. towards her husband. On the other hand, it's a mother towards her children. And then she has two roles, this and that. And Bina is the same. On the one hand, it belongs to Chochmah.
Right?
And on the other hand, it's Rosh of Zeranpin. That's how it is. Go on. Tel Aviv 4.
To continue the scrutiny of the friends about the refinement of the Kudot of Sag, the Partsuf itself. In the Partsufim of Ak, the refinement happens through the clash of surrounding light and inner light. How does the Nekudot of Sag get refined?
How is the Partsuf of Nekudot of Sag purified?
Yes.
What's the question? Why can't it be purified? Does it have something from the illumination of Chochmah?
No, the Partsuf of Nekudot of Sag descends from Rosh of Sag, from above the Tabu, and manages to descend below the Tabu of Ak. After that, it gets refined and it rises back up again to a coupling in the Rosh of Sag. What makes it go back up to this zivug, to this coupling? What makes it get refined in this way?
The light in it belongs to a degree which is above it. And that is why the bitush that there is here between the lights and vessels, it awakens the partsuf to be purified.
So there's a bitush in the partsuf of Nekudot of Sag below the tabu.
Nekudot de Sag ze kama partsufim,
nechon? Nekudot of Sag is several partsufim, right? Yeah. Several degrees, as he writes. So, how come the second restriction is one for all? Why isn't there a gradation there as well?
On all the Nekudot of Sag, there's a second restriction.
But it's in one place, Bina of Guf. Why is it in Bina of Guf, not in each degree as Sag is getting purified, getting refined? We can restrict the expansion of each Partsuf under the Tabu. How come they all end in the Parsa?
They can't go below the Parsa.
There isn't any light that can go below the Parsa?
No, it's not the light, it's a matter of the vessels.
So the most refined degree in Sag cannot go below the Parsa?
No, because it's all Sag.
What do you mean?
It's all Nekudot of Sag. And it still belongs to Gar.
Meaning there's still light of Chochmah? So what does it mean that it's refined and it, when Sag is refined completely,
when it's completely refined, then he doesn't have it.
Right, so in that degree before, there shouldn't be there any light of Chochmah. It comes to Bet Aleph.
It doesn't matter. It still belongs to the Kumah where there is a light there.
Ken.
How did the descent of Nekudot of Sag below the Tabu influence the refinement process?
Again,
how did the descent of Nekudot of Sag below the Tabu influence the refinement of the screen?
זה כביכול מתואר פה בשני תהליכים מקבילים.
He's seemingly describing it in two parallel processes. He says, after they went below the Tabu of Ak and mingled with the fourth phase, and after they finished refining of all the coarsement of the goof, the screen continues to get refined regardless of the Nekudot of Sag that went down below the Tabu. What is this process that happens in parallel?
Because there are two forces here, that each one does his action.
There isn't a mutual influence between the two?
Not for the time being. You don't understand what you're talking about.
Above the Tabu, there's a screen that continues to be refined.
Yes.
Are the Reshimot that go down below the Tabu and get restricted in the second restriction?
Yes.
Do they also undergo a similar process called refinement?
No, in the Reshimot there cannot be this purification. Reshima is a Reshimot. It's information. It's data. If the Reshimo connects to the screen in a certain Paratsuf, there, all kinds of processes happen.
Specifically, during the departure of the light, a new place is revealed. Is there an example from nature you can give that when the light departs, the taste, the flavor depart, and suddenly a new desire opens up, a new creation appears? Is there an example for it?
Yes, I think we see many such things in nature. That the rotting of the wheat brings to new wheat. Nothing ends. It repeats itself every time more and more. These are like incarnations.
He also writes at the bottom of the item, after the refinement and the light ends, there's another zivug. What happens in this zivug? There's another expansion?
Expansion on a lower degree than before.
That's what begets the next partsuf, seemingly?
Yes.
How did Rosh of Sag receive the impression from the Nekudot of Sag? What brings it back up so he can make the next divug?
It raises its masach with the Reshimot of the Guf. It raises them to Rosh, and in Rosh they are become a new Zivug on the Reshimot.
So the screen of Guf during the refinement feels what's happening below the Tabu, and it carries its new discernments up.
Yes.
We are learning
Torah, especially test, study of Ten Sfirot, and I feel like we're up in the air, swimming in a sea of light, but it can't clothe in us. Wherever you try to grasp the light, it's like water. How do we attain here the coarseness that will allow me to be a part of this system?
You need to enter with all of the Rosh inside, in preface, to go over it a few times, back and forth, and then you will begin to be connected to it and understand how it works.
For the time being, it's like I'm there, but it ignores me.
Yes, I understand you. I feel what.
Lama, lifnei kol aliyat.
How come before every new ascent, new degree, the lower degree has to be refined in zivug de'aka, meaning the clash of surrounding and inner light, and the lower one rises to the upper ones and becomes like it.
You must rise to the upper one to be like him and to do there a new zivug of aka, and that's why he has to be purified and to give to the upper one all of the reshimot that remain.
No.
That's it. Well.
No, tamshich, ma ata rotze?
Go on, continue. What do you want?
Why the refinement of the screen to the Atzilut of the Parzuf causes coupling and striking on the corrected screen in the vessel of Malchut?
Because there is first a decision to continue in the Atzilut of the Parzufim and then the purification of the Masach to the Atzilut of the Parzuf.